Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everyone here on this cold morning, this cold weather that we're having. I think we're surviving through it all, but it looks like it's going to linger on a little bit longer. So, but we know that we can have joy anyway, no matter what, as we listen to our prayer requests and such every Sabbath and the other things and the suffering that's going on, but to truly have joy in our lives, because in Christ we can have that joy, knowing that one day soon we're going to see our Savior. And it's good to see everybody here there. But we know that we have a work to do. We need to be doing the work that God has given to us to do that. But do we really look at, count the cost, especially the cost of our Heavenly Father in giving His only Son, to take hold of the strength of Christ in all of our lives, in all of our dealings with each other, you know, to go forth in faith in God. We know that we won't fail, that we will have success. That, so we just pray that we will have that assurance of success through the Lord Jesus Christ. So shall we have prayer? Yes, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that through our Lord Jesus Christ we shall not fail. Through the power from on high, it is for each and every one of us, we will not fail. Oh, Father, we pray that we will truly represent Thee here upon this earth in each one of our lives. God, we pray and thank Thee that we are fed the flesh and the blood of Christ, the Word, and that we can truly have that life because of the Word. May we never forget that all of us were once lost, and that we may truly work to bring others that are lost unto the domain of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are Your representatives, and we pray that we will work and do these things for Thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, reaching the lost. Got this from the Ministerial Association. And we're going to be looking at chapter 15 of Luke. Luke chapter 15. Familiar stories. Here, two parables about something valuable that was lost. And in both stories, that lost item was, whether it was a sheep or a coin, was searched for until it was found. And so as we look through there in Luke 15, 1 through 10, probably won't read it all in one there, but the lost sheep, then draw near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, we see these things, yes. All of these things had a monetary value. But nobody, including the religious leaders of that day, who value material things more than maybe the rest of the people, would ignore such a loss. They would go after it until it was found. Every effort would be made to be able to find them lost, the sheep or a coin. And this is, if these things are true about things that are lost, what about the people that are lost, who are spiritually lost? The term lost refers to those who are not Christians, those who are outside the household of God, but whom God desires to come home. You can see this in the story of the prodigal son that's in this chapter also, where the father says about the son who has repented and come home, he was lost and is found, verse 32. Clearly, the lost things in these parables represent people that are spiritually lost. I don't know if every one of us has lost something that was never found, or we lost some object that we searched until we found it. Just a simple thing is a small hand dustpan with a little brush in it. I got it. I used it on the porch and out in the garage. And then my wife wanted to start using it in the kitchen. So we had it in the kitchen. We placed it someplace. And this was 2 years ago. and I haven't found it yet. So I don't know when. We got a small pantry underneath the stairs that go upstairs. You know, but I've looked through it, tore it apart. I still can't find it, so I don't know what happened to it. So, but we know that we've always, you know, lost something, but we found it went there. So shouldn't we respond to people who are lost in the same way? Or even go, you know, the ways to find these lost things that we have? Shouldn't we exhibit the same efforts and perseverance in searching for them, searching for the lost? Shouldn't we be filled with joy when they are found? Yes, as we saw the joy in our Sabbath school lesson, amongst all the suffering that is going on, to have joy in our lives. And I pray that each one of us can have that joy. You know, see these parables illustrating how God responds to and searches for the lost. He reached down to meet humanity. We did not seek him out first. He sought us out. So we need to be able to respond. And the message remains essentially the same there, because God responds in a certain way to we that are lost. And I said we were lost once. Each one of us was lost once. But we found Jesus Christ. So we had that knowledge of being lost and being found. So we just see that Christians should follow these examples. And the first thing that we need for searching for the lost is compassion. In verses 1 and 2, as I've already read, and read it again. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Here the sinners and the publicans gathered around Jesus. They weren't running from him. They were running towards him. They were not avoiding him. They were not ignoring him. They were searching him out. So why aren't sinners willing and eager to listen and to search out for the lost, just as Jesus did? It wasn't because Jesus had compassion over or promised, compromised on sin and said everything that they were doing was acceptable, because we know that Jesus did not accept what they were doing. It isn't because Jesus had an easy message to give to the people. They weren't gathered around Jesus because he was putting on a sensational show of wonders and miracles. Because at this point in Luke's narrative, there we see the emphasis on Jesus' teachings, not on miracles. They were hardly even mentioned. Who did the lost seek out? Jesus. Or why did the lost seek out Jesus rather than run from him? It's the same with us today. Why do people run away from Christ and not towards him? And that's the way we should be doing. Jesus was showing his compassion, and that we should have that same compassion ourselves in dealing with others, especially dealing with the lost. He loved them and showed it, his love, in a compassionate way. And we are to do the same today and not condemn other people. For we look at ourselves, that we know that the condemnation of Christ is upon us. So we see that. And the Bible tells us there in verse 2, Jesus welcomes sinners and he eats with them. And God and the Lord Jesus Christ will eat with us today. So we see that there, to have the attitude towards lost ones that are in sin. We know that we have a work to do if we are truly responsible for our brothers and our sisters. Jesus welcomed them. He was compassionate with them, accepted them despite their sins and their foolishness and all of their faults. They were a friend, not a foe to him, in which all of us should be to us, should be a friend, act as a friend to them. The Greek word translated welcome in this verse can be defined as to receive as a friend. We pray that we are able to do that. Many times that we know that it's hard to do that, a lot of times, to receive people as friends. especially if they've done something that we think is bad or wrong against us, to really accept them as a friend. But we know that through Jesus Christ we can do that. So that is, Jesus attracted all these people. What about us? Can we attract other people to the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to be as individuals in the church reaching out to these people that are lost. That's our responsibility that God has given to us. He hasn't asked for the rocks to do it or anything which he could have used, but he wants to use people to show that same love and acceptance that Jesus showed while he was here upon this earth. The second thing we need for the lost is effort. Verses 3 through 5 there in chapter 15, 3 through 5. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. See that? Yes. These two parables shows us that Jesus emphasizes the effort of searching for the lost. In the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus said to the shepherd, would leave the 99 and go after that one that was lost, go out into the wilderness or out into the country to find them, to do that. But I, first time, a couple of times I read that about that, I thought about that, you know, to leave that 99 there in the wilderness. Seems like he didn't worry about them. But yet, if that one sheep could get lost, what about the 99? While he was gone, what would happen to those sheep then to do that? Those days, I don't know if they had sheepdogs or not to watch over them, you know. But we know that it's that going after that one lost sheep, that one lost person that is in the world that we may be able to reach and bring to Christ. And we pray that we do that, you know. Then in the parable of the lost coin there, the woman lights a lamp, sweeps the whole house and searches carefully for that lost sheep there in verse 8. And to think that it was a dirt floor. So it seems like she's just sweeping dirt around. But yet to find that lost coin and then to rejoice in that thing. But with great effort, looking for these items that were lost. And the same with us, to have great effort today to look for lost people, to bring them into the fold, not to just bring them into the church, but to bring them into the church of God, bring them to Jesus Christ, so that they may have the same opportunities that we have to be children of the living God. In our Christian lives and in the church, it sometimes seems that we do the opposite. We tend to wait for the lost to come to us. We're passive rather than active. We're waiting for people to come to Christ instead of putting effort into bringing them to Christ. And that is what we need to be doing. And I've been guilty of this myself. I want people to be saved. And I know that you do too. But I haven't always given great effort to go out and find them, to do what God wants us to do. We know that this has to change in my life and in your life to reach these lost for Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. In reality, how do we practice these principles? There are several things that we can do. Number one, first, a significant part of our prayer should be for the lost, not just for ourselves. Second, we must make effort to reach the lost. While it is important that the church, as a corporate entity, makes every effort to reach the lost, the most important thing that you and I can do in reaching the lost is to do our best to show Jesus Christ to everyone. That when we come in contact with others, that we show Jesus Christ. Not be afraid to say things. We know that it's getting a little bit harder now today to really say something to anybody about Christ or about God, because they'll jump down your throat maybe. They don't want to hear it. Or they have their own ideas about it and they don't want to hear anybody else. So they are turned off by you. But we need to be persistent in giving this. And that's why we need to have persistence as another way to reach the lost. In verses 4 through 8, we read that, 4 through 8. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either that woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it. So we know that it has to be done to see that the lost sheep in that spacious fields where the shepherd would lead them and go after the 99. We know that usually our first efforts don't succeed. We're not successful in that. Sometimes it takes years and years to reach someone. But if we are persistent and keep going on it, we do that. But we should not be discouraged and give up. When we're praying for our family members, we know that we have to be constantly, day in, day out, week in, week out, year by year, continually to pray for our family members so that they come back into the fold, especially if they have wandered away. So we do that, to have that. And then we need constant prayer for these people. But if the sheep or the coin was valuable enough to be persistently going after to search for it, we know that we should be for those people that are spiritually lost. They're too valuable to give up. Christ came and died for each and every one of them. He wants none lost. And our God has given us the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, so that they can have life along with us to do that. But even when our efforts pay off quickly, we remember how valuable these souls are to Christ. And he's trying to reach them through us. And we do that, as we said, and looked at these. And then verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Yes, the joy that goes on in heaven each time a lost one has come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The religious leaders of Christ's day was indifferent towards the lost. And they were even antagonistic towards them for them coming to Christ. Jesus used these two parables to illustrate how wrong they were, how these religious leaders were, especially when compared to how they would have responded in recovering something that they had lost themselves, that had belonged to them. Jesus pointed out how joyful it is to be able to bring lost souls to the kingdom, to find something that was lost, that we need to be joyous over each one that is found. And it's not to add stars to our crowns, because we don't really know when we come upon somebody how we affect them, whether we can reach them or not. As they said, it may be years and years later, or it may be we need to wait until our crowns and our stars are given to us to know how many people we have brought to Christ. But whether it's one star that we have or 100 stars that we have, we know that we all have joy because we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how much the things that were lost or found, even one of them, all heaven rejoices and throws a party. See that? There's more joy in one sinner coming to Jesus than the 99 being right and just. And if lost people mattered so much to God, they should matter to us too. we should be willing to do everything that we need to be able to reach the lost. And for us, we know that the answer is yes. Let us work to this end so that we may be able to see that. We don't have to look these up, but some of Matthew 10:6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Jesus was telling his disciples. Matthew 15:24. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was Jesus Christ himself. 18:11 in Matthew. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And every one of us has what was lost at one time. Luke 19:10. For the Son has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 18:9. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. In 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So we know that we need to keep our God, keep the gospel alive in our lives and doing it. So I just pray that each one of us will do the work to bring the lost back to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, our Heavenly Father, we know that thou art calling softly and tenderly for your lost ones to come home. We know that all humanity has been lost. We are the one prodigal world that has went astray. But we pray, Father, like the prodigal son, that we will find our way back, for thou art calling. And we pray that you will use each one of us to draw the lost to thee so that they may all have the opportunity of eternal life, the assurance of one day, knowing that they will be with their Christ. Oh, we see the things that are happening now in the world, how the world is getting the way that it is, of darkness coming to the point where we are like the days of Noah. It is time for our Savior to stand up, to put on his kingly robes, to say it is finished, and to come for his people. We pray, Father, that you will use us in that way that will hasten the coming of our Lord. We pray for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.